Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Nita, for the message and song. Philippians chapter 4. Just one verse tonight. Verse number 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. That next two-letter word, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. And use the Bible. Oh, God, use the Bible to help us. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. During this section in the book of Philippians, we are dealing with the secure mind. Of course, our focus is joy. And our means for having that joy is a single mind, a submissive mind, a spiritual mind, and a secure mind. As we have dove into this last chapter in Philippians 4, we begin to understand that a secure mind comes through correct thinking. For the last several weeks, we have discussed, by way of preaching, the power of correct thinking. In other words, when you think right, it does big things in your life. As we've dealt with this subject, we have followed the Apostle Paul through this section and looked in this prison cell at his personal esteem, how close he was to the people of God, his pointed exhortation that they get things right as people of God, his petitioned endeavor that they would help others in the work of God, his passionate encouragement for them to rejoice in the person of God, his proper expression that while we are living and thinking right, we should let our moderation, our gentleness, our submission be known to everybody. Yes, we are the people of God, but people that are not the people of God should know that we are the people of God. He then talks about his prayer essentials, if you would, and he talks about how to pray. And oh my goodness, we need to learn not just to pray, but how to pray. Heard Brother Zev yesterday, Brother Zev challenged us at men's prayer as the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he spoke about how the prayers of the saints of God ended a 10-year time when he and his wife were trying to have children. He said, we were praying, but something got a hold of God's attention when the people of God started praying. Prayer essentials. Get rid of that stress out of our lives and determine we're going to trust God. He continued, if you would, with a peaceful experience. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Last week we dealt with this, if you would, a couple weeks ago, the pondering endeavor. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's a pondering endeavor. In other words, what I think about is not simply up to whatever happens in my life. I can't let my mind do what it wants to do. I must endeavor to rightfully direct my mind to think on the right things. I must program my mind. I must fill my mind. I must guide my mind. I must lead my mind. He talked about the character of true things, honest things, just things. We need to think about reliable things, reputable things, right things. He talked about the cleanliness of blameless things, beautiful things, and building things. And I challenge you as a church to direct your mind to think on the right things. How you doing? if there be any virtue, and oh my soul, there is. If there be any praise, oh my soul, there is. Think on these things. By the way, as I was looking at this passage of scripture, true, honest, just, lovely, pure, of good report. Could I tell you those are all things that describe the Lord Jesus Christ? And you'll never go wrong with your mind thinking about Jesus. Think on these things. I want to close this section, the power of correct thinking, with what I call practical execution. Think. Why? Why, Paul? Why'd you spend these 8 points talking with us about how you think? And here's what he's telling us. Because right thinking leads to right living. And he's saying to the people of God, I can't get you to do right because I can't get you to think right. And if I could get you to think right, it wouldn't be so hard to get you to do right. 3 things tonight to look at briefly. 1, Paul's powerful example. 2, Paul's plain exhortation. And 3, Paul introduces them to a precious effect. Look if you would, first of all, at his powerful example. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. I couldn't help but think, as Anita was testifying last night, how important it is for us as Christians. She was testifying a little bit earlier tonight to practice what we preach. Paul was somewhat looking at these folks saying, if you don't think it's possible, how'd I do it? How did I do it? I did it with God, and you got the same God. Look at me, he says. Look at what God's done in my life. Someone was sharing just a few moments ago, Sister Staten, sharing the gospel has given me an opportunity to tell people what God has done for me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the importance of living for God, so that other human beings can see if he did it for you, he can do it for me. Where are the examples? Who are the examples in this church of godly living? The things you've seen, heard, received, and learned in me. Are you bold enough to look at another Christian and say, what you've seen me do? How you've seen me act? What you've seen me talk about? How you've seen me carry myself, what you've received from me, what you've learned from me. Did you hear those 4 words? Seen, heard, received, and learned. Can I ask you a question? Are you letting somebody see anything? Are you letting anybody hear anything? Are you letting anybody learn anything? And is anybody receiving anything from you? I'll tell you what would turn this world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christian people would be living such a godly testimony that people could see, hear, receive, and learn. We need some people who can see, hear, receive, and learn Jesus from Christian people. The most powerful lesson ever taught to an individual is a personal example. Are you teaching anybody anything? He says, I'm willing. And by the way, he's not bragging. He's not being presumptuous. He's not being conceited. Here's what he's saying. I'm willing to put myself on the line. And let me tell you something. Nobody in this building is ever going to be perfect. Would we all agree with that? We're all going to fail. We're all going to mess up. But we don't have to make failure the norm. We ought to be able to love God enough and to live biblical principles enough to take somebody underneath us and say, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm so committed to this thing called Christianity. I'm so committed to living like the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification is not a buzzword. Holiness is not a denomination. Baptism Baptist is not just a label for where I go to church. I'm so committed. I'm so intense. I'm so consecrated. I'm so devoted to God. I'm willing to take somebody and say, you read this Bible, you look at me, and you're going to find out the two match. Maybe that's why you don't want anybody that close to you. Because you're afraid that the glaring discrepancies will breed confusion. Maybe you don't want anybody from your job to come to this church. Because you're going to have to reconcile the career Christian with the church Christian. And the two are entirely, I'm telling you, you live for God. You can invite people to follow your example. God help us. The powerful example and then the plain exhortation. Think. 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 And next word. Do. Do. Hey, beloved. The stuff I've been talking about from verse number 1 up to verse number 8. Hey, if you'll spend this week thinking about true things, honest things, just things, loving things, pure things, things of good report, I'll tell you what, you'll have a better chance at doing right. Listen to me. I said to a number of young men this week in my scripture text, the battleground for the devil is always the mind. Listen to me. The battleground for Satan is always the mind. And I'm going to tell you something. You can dust up every external area in your life and present to the people of God that you have it together. But it is only a matter of time before your failures in the mind will seep out into all the other areas of your life. And I'm here to tell you, sir, if you don't beat lust in your mind, it won't be long before you'll be fooling around with adultery. Listen to me, young people. If you won't beat the wrong thought process in your mind, God help us. God help us. This world is feeding this erroneous ideology to our young people, and it wants them at the very early age through innuendo and suggestive material to think that homosexuality and same-sex marriage, all this mess, they want them to think it's fine. They don't come out with outright language. They just show you a little bit here and show you a little bit there and have a card and have a commercial and have this or that. And before long, people who've grown up around the Bible will go, it ain't that bad. It's not that big of a deal. What's really wrong with it? And then all of a sudden they start living a wrong way, and we go, what got into you that you're living that way? They start acting out what they've been thinking a long time. So what are we to do? We are to feed them truth. But I'm warning you. Don't be somebody who's trying to drive truth down people's throat without an example. Paul could spend this time saying what he said in those first 8 verses and then turn to verse number 9 and say, yeah, I expect you to listen because y'all know this is what I do. Pastoring should never pedestal anybody above anyone else. But what it ought to do, it should motivate a man to say, let me live in a way that the greatest sermon I preach is not during the allotted time of the service, but every week. Let the people of God know that they're not pastored by perfection, but they are pastored by someone that has a passion to live for God. And let my children know. I went to Target Friday. 2 Targets. Yeah, I plan to go to Target again next year. I took Chloe, and we had to get some things. We're going out of town, and kids are growing, and they need new clothes and all of this. We went to one Target up the street in King Street, and then Chloe says, Daddy, Springfield has a better selection. So I said, okay, well, let's go to Springfield. I spent way too long in Target. I felt like I was a Target. But we did. I'd like to give a shout out to Target. They seem to here as of late be thinking about Christian people when they manufacture some of their clothes. Thank the Lord. They're coming up with some length to what they do. To God be the glory. Maybe somebody on the Target board knows Jesus. And I hope so. It's hard to find stuff nowadays. Anyway, that was just whatever. But I got back home and we're pulling out all the stuff. And Chloe said, Daddy, this is these little glasses here. The person never rang them up. They're not on the receipt, but they're in the bag. So I went to Target today to buy a pair of dollar glasses. I wanted my children to know Daddy's not pastoring the church on Sunday and living dishonest on Friday. Now, nobody would have ever known. You wouldn't have known, but I knew. I knew. And I'd have a hard time. Well, the price is not the issue. The principle is. See, if you'll brush over a dollar discrepancy, it won't be long before you'll brush over a $100 one. Huh? And if you can keep some glasses you didn't buy from Target for long, you'll be able to keep God's tithe for about a month. See, nobody knows, but God knows. And I want my children to know, we owe God integrity. I want the people of God to know. You know, we are living in the day and age where people give very little credence to living right. It's all about programming, platforming, and packaging. It's all about imaging, right? How do you sell yourself? Years ago, I had a pastor say, you know, preacher, I know you travel. Sometimes you take CDs with me. And he was a little critical of the fact that my spiel on selling CDs is about 12 seconds. I've got some CDs out there, some preaching and singing. If they can be a help to you, please stop by the table. God bless. He said, brother, sir, you need to take time and describe each one and tell about the messages and sell them. I said, there's only one problem. God called me to preach, not to sell.
Well, come on.
He told me, he said, you see the SUV you're driving? Oh, you could get one from the company if you'd start selling like I sell. That's what he told me years ago. By the way, he divorced his wife and he's with another one now. Looked like he was a pretty good salesman. I'd hate to sell my way into an SUV and out of marriage.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
I'm trying to get on the road, but I might just get there a little later.
Come on.
We better take character serious. And I don't know of anything outside of my own wife and children that motivates me anymore to live for God than to know. People are watching me. I mean, all over the place. All over the place. I'm amazed. Anita sends me some of these emails sometime. I'm thinking, what are they? Are they stalking us? I don't really mean that, but I'm so encouraged. And I think to myself, how devastating to the cause of Christ. Please don't think I'm not escalating my value more than anybody. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I'd hate to hurt so many people and the cause of Christ by preaching something I won't practice. It's hard to be a scandalous pastor taking three or four young men with you on the road who are going to watch you in the room. Listen to your conversations, huh? And see what your reactions are and whether the wrong words slip out your mouth. You get somebody with a scope on you, I bet you'll learn to walk straight. Yeah. You get somebody that'll pull out the spiritual breathalyzer on you. Uh-huh. I bet you'll keep that mess out your system. Powerful example. The things you've heard, seen, received, and learned in me. Plain exhortation, do. And the precious effect, here it is. And the God of peace shall be with you. Whew. Listen, I'll tell you what encourages me. It encourages me that when I do right, God's with me. God is with me. Preacher, what do you need? Yeah, I need an outline. Yeah, I need meetings. Yeah, I need opportunities. Yeah, I need health and strength. Yeah, I need rest. Yes, I need good memory. Yes, I need content. Yes, I need alliteration. Yes, I need powerful public speaking skills. All of those things can be learned and developed and honed and sharpened. But above all those things, I need God. And I hate to bust up your theology. I mean, he ain't rolling with everybody. Maybe, as obvious as this sounds, the reason why your Christian life keeps going in circles and never materializes in progress is because you got everybody with you but the God of peace. He honors obedience. He does. Just doing right till the stars fall, Dr. Bob Jones said. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right though it's never known. Do right since you love the Lord. Do right. Well, I'm tired of doing right. Nobody seems to recognize it. Nobody rewards me. Nobody pays any attention to me. I get doing right, and Pastor, you told me to do right, but my wife won't do right. I keep doing right, and there are no improvements. How about this? The God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that enough to do right? The power of correct thinking. May God help us in the Christian life to let our thinking lead to our doing, because that, my friend, is a step towards a secure mind. And a secure mind is a credible step towards joy. Father, thank you. We bless you and magnify your name. I pray, God, that you will continue to remind us that you are faithful, you are worthy, and you are true. Help us, Lord, never to forget. Think right. Do right. So you can bless us. We love you. Help us to never stop obeying you. In Jesus' name, amen.